How y'all doing? Y'all pray for me. Brother Grant called me. He called me, told me he had the flu not too long ago. I wasn't really ready for this, but anyway. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for being with us. Lord, I thank you for loving us. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I just ask you to help me make the most out of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, if everything's going good, it's awful easy to be happy. You know, this morning, first thing, Stacy called me and said we was overdrawn in both accounts. It's raining a flood. You know, it's just nasty, and I ain't happy. Got a lot. If I'm doing good and I get a lot done, I'm happy. If not, you know, I'm not that happy. And, you know, we live in a material world. And when the sun is shining, it's 75 degrees, and everybody's got money in their pocket, then it's easy to be happy. But, you know, you'll find a lot of people that ain't happy then. Happiness is something that's got to come from within. You know, Brother Grant called me and said I had to preach. It's like, whoa, you know, I mean, yesterday I wasn't happy. Today I wasn't much better. And all of a sudden it's like you're supposed to preach. And, you know, we're talking about grasping at straws. The thing is, I'm not where that I should be, or I wouldn't be in that situation. Jesus wants us to, He wants us to have our happiness and our joy in being saved. You know, those guys told Jesus, they said, look at this temple. I mean, it had gold everywhere. And he said, I'm going to tell y'all something. There won't be one stone left on another here. This ain't nothing but temporary, is what he's telling them. And then they come along and they're all excited because they're casting out devils and healing people. And he's like, don't get excited over that. Just be excited that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, he wants us to put to anchor ourselves into something that we can count on. That's what it boils down to. You know, we can count on God to be there. And the funny thing is, we live like orphans. We got a perfect father. We go around depending on people, depending on our performance to get our happiness from. I'm going to tell y'all something. That don't always work. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world that's sick. There's a lot of people in this world that's not able to be perform anymore. The thing is, God loves them just as much, if not more, than He does the people that are out there getting it done. The Bible says, to those that don't work but believe, it's the same deal. David, he went and fought this battle and brought back all the stuff, and he had a bunch of people with him, and some of them was tired, and they stayed by the brook, and they stayed by the stuff. And whenever they came back, they brought all the stuff back, and they said, we ain't giving it to these guys that didn't do nothing. They just sit here. He said, you know what? He said, we're going to give the same thing to them that stayed by the stuff as the ones that went with us. David was kind of a picture of the grace of God. And you know, he made a law that day that they give the same stuff, the people that stayed by the stuff, is the people that went and fought in the war. What we got to do is we got to abide in God. We got to abide in Jesus. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, this thing is about love. The Bible says, whatever you do, if you don't have love, it's a waste of time. There's no profit in it. It's funny how much stuff I do, love ain't got nothing to do with it. But the Bible says that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. You know, I think the biggest problem a lot of us have got is we don't love ourselves. You know, that's the problem. If you read in 1 John 1:9, I know everybody knows that, but I want to tell y'all something. There's times when we need to read that, and we need to remember that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's funny how much we don't forgive each other. And I want to tell you something else. We don't forgive ourselves. I've been in a spot for a while now where I just feel like I've put myself in a spot that I ain't happy with. And you know what? I kind of feel like an idiot. But you know what? We're all idiots. But the gospel is that God loved us when we was idiots. He loved us before we were saved, and He loves us after we're saved. And His love don't change. You know, the key to loving people, according to Jesus, is to be forgiven. He said, "He that loves much, forgiveth much." You know, when I started getting serious about serving God, I know I probably told you all this story before, but it's a big deal in my life. I'm going to tell you, anytime God speaks to you, it's a big deal. I was doing everything I could do to be a Christian. Everything in my power to do what I was supposed to do and to be who I was supposed to be. And nothing was changing in my life, except I was going more and more separated from the people in my life because I wasn't like them. And you talking about depressing, the harder you work, the further you get away from everybody. And of course I wasn't doing it right, but it doesn't matter, I was working. I was trying and I wasn't getting nowhere. And I laid down about 11 o'clock one night exhausted. We just got done playing ball and phone rings. I was so tired. I was just asking God, just give me some relief. It's about this time of year, cold, nasty. And the phone rings. I left my phone in Moreland. The guy said, "If you'll come and meet me at Walmart in Stanford, I'll give you the phone." So I got to get in the truck and go to Walmart, get dressed, and I'm exhausted. I get in a truck, and there's a guy on the radio preaching. And he's preaching about how he'd been gone. I won't ever forget the sermon. His little boy was like 4 years old. He'd been gone for 2 or 3 weeks. And he came back, and this little boy was come running to the door, and he was crying. He said, "Daddy," he said, "you're going to be mad." He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I've been bad." And he said, "Well, it's no big deal. What'd you do?" He told him what he did. He said, "Well, you shouldn't have done that." He said, "Daddy, I've been really bad." He said, "I know you're mad." And he kept going over this thing, and the little boy just couldn't be appeased from the guilt that he had. He was just tore up about what he'd done. And the man just picked him up and hugged him, and he said, "I missed you, son." He said, "You're forgiven." And when he said that, it's like God just spoke to me. He said, "You know what? It's paid for. It's done. The work's been done already. I love you. I want to be with you just like you are. It's paid for." And I went down the road on cloud nine. I come back on cloud nine. Because you know what? God was with me. And I knew that the burden was off. The pressure was off. I want to tell y'all something. If you're saved, the pressure's off. The Bible says that our sins will He remember no more in the new covenant. That's what we've given. We've given a covenant where that He will do basically everything. He puts His words in our heart. He puts them in our mind. and he don't remember our... I'm going to read it to you. I know you've all read it a million times, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. It's in Hebrews chapter... I don't know exactly where it is, but anyway, we'll find it. You know, it's so simple. I thought there for a minute they took Hebrews out of here. Now this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. When I was a baby boy, when I got saved, I knew God. I met Him that day, and I've known Him ever since. He's in my heart. And He's a guide to me. You know what? When a person gets saved, they know God in a capacity that nobody can know Him until they're saved. But when they know Him, then they've got somebody going with them. Somebody that's the Master. It says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Boy, ain't that some good news. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. They're forgotten. The Bible says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. I think the biggest problem that humanity has is the fact that they don't love theirself and they don't forgive theirself and they don't cut theirself some slack and realize that God made them. He loves them just like they are. And until they learn to love theirself, they can't love nobody else. You know, we live in a world full of people that's perfectionist. It amazes me, the people I work for. I mean, everything has got to be perfect. You know what? We live in a broken world. We live in a world where people are quite often disappointed in you when you do your best. I'm going to tell you something. God's not disappointed in you when you do your best. You know, He don't change. It's funny to me how you can flip a switch and all of a sudden the guy's mad at you. I mean, it goes both ways. I'm just saying, you know, God ain't like that. He changes not, the Bible says. He's an anchor that we can anchor ourselves in, and we don't have to worry about anything changing. We live, if we're saved, we live in a position where God loves us, where He's forgiven us for everything we've done. We're His children. And He looks at us as a special treasure. We're like jewels to Him. I mean, how does a person feel about their family? Well, you know what? Our feelings change. The Bible says, could a nursing woman forget her child? I mean, a woman that's nursing, they're going to fill up with milk and run out of milk. I mean, they're going to notice things in that... And they have a bond with that child that's probably closer than any bond on this planet between humans. The Bible says they might do it, but I won't forget you. I got you engraved in the palms of my hands. I'm going to tell you, a woman that's nursing, that gets chased by a bear, you know what? She might forget all that she's even got any family. People are fickle. God ain't like that. And I'm going to tell you something else too. I don't care what kind of trouble you're in. God knew before you ever got in it what it was going to be. And He knew how you was going to get out of it. And, you know, it don't matter what the situation is. God is the good side of it. Going to God is the answer. Looking to Him for the answers is the answer. You know, the biggest thing that God wants to do for us is take the pressure off. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, He said, Tetelestai. My sister's got it written on her barn. It means paid in full. That's some good stuff right there. It's not part paid. It's not paid until as long as we're good. It's not the Old Testament where we had rules to abide by. It's paid in full. And then it also means it is finished. It's done. I want to tell y'all something. Jesus said, whatever you do unto the least of these, you do it unto me. God has a love for us. For all of us. To the point that He feels our pain. All of us. And what we need to do is we need to remember that always so that we can feel each other's pain. Because until we cut ourselves some slack, we can't cut nobody else no slack. And I tell you, one of the biggest problems that I got in my life is I'm disappointed with me a lot of the time. You know, I'm not perfect. But for some reason, I mean, I've been knowing this for 57 years, but for some reason, there ain't a day goes by that my conscience don't convict me about something. And you know, God knew who I was before He called me to preach. Then it wasn't no surprise to Him what I'm like. And He knows that I know to do right and don't do it. He knows that I know to love everybody unconditionally and don't do it. He knows how I am. And He knows that I know better. And He knows what I'm made out of, the Bible says. He knows my frame. He knows that I'm made out of dirt. I'm made out of dirt. God made us out of clay. Isn't that amazing? And He made us in such a way that if we abide in Him, we are capable of love and compassion like this world has never seen. God has a love for us that's just crazy, how the kind of love that He has for us. And, you know, He put us on a mission. He sent us on, He gave us the Great Commission, but I'm going to tell you what the mission is. It's to love each other to the place that the lost world can see that God has a love that they ain't familiar with. A love that don't change. And a compassion where we feel for each other. He has called us to show His love through our lives to the point that it changes people's hearts and they wind up going to heaven. And at the end of this thing, if we'll just hang close to God, we can help build a kingdom up with people that would have been in hell. And the way we do it is by loving them, not by showing them that we're better than them, not by doing better than them, not by working our butt off. We show it by loving them like God loves us. And the only way we can do that is we got to constantly remember riches and in poor. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king that made a marriage for his son. And when you get up there and make your marriage vows, you make them for all these different conditions. I'm going to promise to love her through all this stuff. And you know, that's the way getting saved is. God promises to love us through all this stuff. Jesus, He made His commitment pretty plain whenever He went to the death. And we put so much pressure on ourselves with what we have and what we get done. And you know what? We need to cut ourselves some slack and we need to cut each other some slack. And we need to remember that joy comes from within. It don't come from what gets done and what don't get done. It don't come from whether you're overdrawn or whether you're not. It does not make any difference if you're abiding in God. Because if we believe this book, then we're in the best possible spot on the best possible day to do exactly what He wants us to do and be exactly what He wants us to be. And I want to tell y'all something about God. He just keeps giving more grace. You know, they talk about Abraham, how he went to the top of the mountain with his son and all this stuff and how what a terrible test it was and all that stuff. And you know, I want to tell y'all, God gave that test to Abraham when he knew that he was able to pass it. He didn't give it to him so he could fail. And I want to tell y'all something else too. God gave Abraham a bunch of tests that he failed that we don't know about. Because see, God ain't here to show how sorry we are. He's here to show how much He loves us and how special we are to Him. He loves Abraham just like He loves us. You know what? Abraham, he went with God and he went where God told him to, and he grew up into a man that showed that he had a commitment to God just like God had to him. He showed that it was possible for us to pass the test. And it's possible for all of us. But you know, these little days that we're going through, this rain and this and these different things that's going on, they're just little baby tests. And if we can't pass them, then we surely ain't going to pass a big one. What we got to do is, we got to get close enough to God that we can remember the kind of love that He has for us and the kind of forgiveness that He has for us. And, you know, if we don't love ourselves, then we can't love nobody else. And if you love yourself, you give yourself some time by yourself with God. And you get to know Him better. And He'll show you how special you are. You know, I was going down the road yesterday, and everything was just, the last couple of days ain't been good. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm in the presence of greatness. It is so awesome that we live in a world where God is with us, listening to every single word. It's an opportunity that we just can't imagine because we don't dwell on it. I mean, I know He's here in this church house tonight, but I'm going to tell you, when I'm going down the road spilling my guts to Him, He's right there. He's right there listening. He's listening intently. He's not listening a little bit every now and then. He's listening intently. That's who God is. Jesus wanted to make sure that we got that. He said He knows how many hairs are on your head. Isn't that crazy? They fall off all the time. When I was a little kid, that just blew my mind. Jesus wants it to blow our mind. He wants us to think about that stuff. He wants us to realize that all the stuff we're going through don't amount to nothing. It's just an opportunity for us to be what He wants us to be. What's He want us to be? He wants us to be like Him. He loves us. He wants us to love each other. And He wants us to love ourselves. I appreciate y'all coming tonight.